Hey, podcast listeners, still standing on the sidelines when you could be getting paid to play? Well, all your favorite NBA and college basketball teams are in action, and there's no better time to make sure you're betting with the best. BetDSI is one of the most reliable and profitable online sports books. Bet on the NBA, college basketball, MLB, UFC, NHL, and much more. It's your all-access pass for everything. And not only are there super quick payouts and bonuses, but BetDSI's live feature allows me to watch my team before I even bet. They even match any deposit you make up to $1,000. So play big, win big, and get paid anytime. Plus, when you sign up for BetDSI.com using our code, you'll get an extra 25%. That's 125% bonus. So join the winning team by signing on at BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN101. You'll more than double your bet. So don't leave money on the table. Visit BetDSI.com and use code WIN101. That's BetDSI.com, promo code WIN101, BETDSI.com, code WIN101.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
Presented by Rice University, Jones Graduate School of Business MBA program. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media Station. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
So, your guy Colin Kaepernick has won his lawsuit. Well, win his lawsuit.
He settled.
It sounds like they won.
He probably got something. I wish we knew the details and make it more fun to talk about, but...
And the bottom line is apparently they did this so that none of the stuff would come out in the text messages and the emails, and that's all going to be covered up. And if it goes up, comes out, then he doesn't get his money. I've heard a lot of different numbers. Somebody I trust said, don't be shocked if you got $80
million. Whoa.
Yeah. Basically, just shut up. I guess Travis Scott did a big show here in town. Apparently, now Mayor Turner wants to bring an amusement park back to Houston.
I thought they were... But didn't we talk a couple years ago about them building a theme park, like...
Yeah, I thought they were going to.
Up towards, like, Kingwood, Splendora, like, somewhere the northeast side of town.
Yeah.
What happened to that?
I don't know. Somebody says there will be an amusement park in New Caney.
Where's that? Like
north of Porter.
Well, that's not that far for you. You live up north.
I live on... I'm on the other side of the wall.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. You missed the first 2 hours. That's some of what you missed. Lots of other good stuff, too. Just
tons of good.
Just go to podcastarena.com. It was huge. So we'll have RJ Bell here any minute. This is always that awkward couple minutes before we have RJ while he's coming off his national show.
Yeah, times are hard, man. He's a big star.
He is. He's getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And
I'm riding his coattails.
I know. We all are. We all are in our own little ways. But, he and Brad both. That podcast you guys do is terrific, by the way.
Thank you.
For
new one out today.
For what it's worth.
I appreciate that.
So, if you haven't had a chance to check it out, please do. It'll be on, should be on SportsMap.
Yeah, did you link it up at SportsMap?
I don't know. I usually leave that to Josh to do.
Well, it's easy to find. I mean, but yeah, if you don't know another way, go to SportsMap.com and you'll find the link there.
Very cool. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. So what do you have going action-wise here that we're watching?
Davidson in the under.
Okay.
And then I'm on Harvard tonight
really?
As well. Yes.
You're just trying to kiss up to the boss.
I'm in the Harvard Club, Harvard plus two club, to be exact, against those brutes from Princeton.
Oh, nobody likes anyone from Princeton.
No.
Come on.
Remember that time you met your friend from Princeton? Nope. Me neither.
They're both over my head. So, Pink Valkyrie likes your music choices, Aaron. And
she was here today.
She also says, robots are the new immigrants. Time to build a firewall.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
All right.
We can wait 2 minutes. I think.
No, I'm pretty sure we can handle 2 minutes here. I think we just need to get used to RJ now at 6:07.
Yeah, as opposed to
6 on the dot.
Right.
That's fine.
Well, it's usually like 6:03 when we actually come back because there's the rewind.
Yeah.
So
what I'm going to start doing is now I'm going to have some wild off the wall story that we're going to basically go with right before we get to RJ. So here's today's. Tell me this doesn't sound like an episode of Fargo. Police have identified three people found dead near a West Side Railroad crossing early Friday, Columbus police said. Ryan Riley, Johnny Collins, and Glenn Featherstone were found lying unresponsive outside an SUV early Friday morning. A 911 caller reported an SUV next to the tracks, finding three bodies. The SUV was badly mangled, set just west of the railroad tracks, but a train was not involved in the incident. Investigators are certain the SUV was not struck by a train because a train hasn't traveled on that stretch of railroad for weeks. Wilson said speed was likely a factor because the SUV ended up 100 to 130 yards from where it left the road.
Oh, geez.
And when they got there, there was a large amount of cash found on the ground and floating through the air. Doesn't that sound like the start of a movie?
It kind of does.
I want to see the rest of it. I'd be cool to see the rest of it. That was in, where was this story? I hate when people are like, in this community.
Yeah.
Dude, we don't know where you're from. Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
That's RJ's neck of the woods.
It is. Yeah, I was watching
Maybe that's why RJ's late today.
I was watching a documentary. Yeah. I mean, maybe he's responsible. And it was about how, you remember the original Fargo said, based on a true story. It actually was. There was a murder. The guy killed his wife and put her in a wood chipper. And he was like a famous pilot and he was a cop. And probably, you know, had it more together than Jerry Lundegaard. But I was kind of fascinated because they took elements of the crime and turned it into the movie.
Yeah.
So, like, including at one point where he said she ran away with her Asian boyfriend.
All right.
That's what he told the police.
Well,
so there wasn't a kidnapping, but.
So it is loosely based.
Well, yeah, very loosely. And I also found out that Nightmare on Elm Street also very loosely based on people dying in their sleep.
Thank God that's all it's based on.
Well, but I mean, it's pretty spooky. It was on that Reels. They have a lot of stuff like that, like the real story.
So was there like a documentary about it?
I think it's kind of a documentary.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. You want to go? Well, there's no point in getting into another sports story.
No.
Yeah, we're gonna have to figure out this break going forward. We're gonna have to do something different because he's coming on in the middle of a segment. So we need to.
I think what we need to do is we'll have to go to break at like 6:05 and then come back. Like do 5 minutes, quick break, and then bring RJ back. So. All right, well, we'll figure it out, but
we'll adjust.
Regardless. Hey, guys, what's happening?
How you doing, RJ?
Oh, sorry about that. Just trying to, you know, right after the show, had to do a few things, but this is a priority for me.
What do? You crush a Mountain Dew after the show?
Crush it? No, I like to open, you know, one of my favorite things is if I feel like the show is dragging just a little, which, you know, every show does sometimes, I'll open a soda right into the mic just to kind of cue the audience. I'm ready to rock and roll.
I like that.
That's a good thing. If we ever drag, may have to try that.
Yeah, well, we don't experience that.
Just the perpetual energy level.
Yeah. I mean, we're pros. I get it.
I mean, listen, I'm aspiring one day to be like you two. It's a goal.
We do our best around here. We were we were talking earlier in the show about sort of the odds of where Antonio Brown might end up. I mean, Do you think that there's a favorite necessarily in that situation? And I know you follow the Steelers closer than most of us do, but do you have a feel on what the Steelers are going to do with Antonio Brown?
Well, I tell you, I mean, you look at a situation where they're saying, and again, I'm following this in the news like anyone else, so no inside information. But if you look and you hear the conversation is like they don't even want to have a conversation, Brown's camp. Boy, that's not a ton of optimism. And just a couple days ago, Pittsburgh was still the favorite. They were like plus 150 to be Brown's team next year. And then as of yesterday, and I haven't seen the update today, Pittsburgh was right there at 5-1, but there was like 4 or 5 teams that were in that 4-5-1 range. So it strikes me. And there was a former player on one of the talk shows, I can't remember which, saying, oh, it's, you know, pretty much laying the blame on Big Ben that to whatever degree Brown and Ben's relationship has really suffered is what that fellow was saying.
One of the things, speaking of futures, and this is, I guess, a little more broad, the NBA futures at this point, the Rockets still sit at 35-1. So they're behind the Warriors, the Thunder, and 4 teams from the East. The next team behind them, the Lakers at 40-1, ahead of the Nuggets at 60-1. And I know there's the LeBron factor and things like that, but with what we've seen from the Rockets, what we've seen from the Lakers, does 35 and 40-1 seem a little bit pricey to you?
So you think the Rockets they should be getting even a bigger payout.
I think the Rockets should be more like 40 to 45-1. The Lakers should be in the 60s. I think the Nuggets should probably be 30-1.
Well, you know, I tell you, I am in my mid-40s. I've been betting, I'd say 99% of days since I was 14 years old. That is the honest truth. And I learned something this week I had not ever known. And it's about why Denver's regular season record, the Nuggets, is oftentimes better than their odds to win a title in any given year, whatever their record is. And it's a brilliant point. Steve Fezzik shared it, is the idea that there is an intrinsic disadvantage to playing at altitude if you're a tired team. So if it's back-to-back or if you are – let's say on a 7-game road trip, and even if you had the day off before, it's hotels and late nights and, you know, you're goom in each city that, you know, as some of these NBA guys have, and you're tired. Now you're playing at altitude, come the second half, it's trouble. During the regular season, that is a problem. During the postseason, you're never on a back-to-back, and if anything, there's too much rest. So it kind of makes sense that there's this element that Denver benefits from the entire season that they don't benefit from the playoffs. I'm not saying that's a gigantic difference, but it's a material difference where a Denver is usually going to overperform in the regular season and underperform in the playoffs. Does that conceptually make sense to you?
No, it does. Does that mean you, I mean, does Utah get the same sort of bump for that?
I would make the case. And if you look at Utah during their prime right now, you could make the case there's not much to do in Utah. So maybe if they get there the night before, it's, you know, there's it's that old New York City or the Miami flu or the Vegas flu you hear about in certain teams. When I was coming up in the 90s, one of the biggest bets we would make was Cincinnati under Huggins when they had a 1 o'clock Eastern start on a Saturday or a Sunday and they were favored by double digits. Ooh, dog, bet against them. Because that was a party school back in the day, and Huggins ran a pretty loose program, I think is a nice way to say it. So, I mean, these are human beings. But I would also make the case with Utah, if you look at their regular season record during the Stockton-Malone prime and say how many titles would you expect them to win, they certainly won less than you would have expected.
Yeah. Looking at the Eastern Conference right now, and obviously the Western Conference, it's, I mean, the Warriors are like, I mean, they're a ridiculous favorite. I think it's like -400, right? If you want the Warriors to win the West. And then there's everybody else. I think Rockets and Thunder are right there in 10-12-1. But I was noticing this morning the East, the top four teams are all 3-1 or less. When's the last time we saw that in the Eastern Conference where there were, or really in any conference in the NBA where at this point in the season?
This is, on our show, we've been having all kind of fun with this. And one of the things we did is we had an auction. And what the auction was that we said, okay, you can pick any of the four teams last longer in the East. So Philadelphia, Toronto, Boston, and what am I having a mental block on? Philadelphia.
Indiana.
Right?
Oh, yeah. It's Toronto, Milwaukee.
Indiana.
Toronto, Milwaukee. Boston, Milwaukee, and Philly.
I forget.
You're right.
Exactly. Yeah, the big four. Okay. So what we said was, it was me, Fezzik, and Brad Powers. We said, how much will you lay 110 to have the first pick? And two people said yes. Would you lay 115 to have the first pick? One person said yes, and the second person said no. The third person was no from the start. So Fezzik picked first. Then after, it was me and Brad, would you lay 110 for the second pick, 120? It got up to 125. Brad was willing to lay for the second pick. So it was a fun little auction where I am +115 against Fez, and I'm +125 against Brad. They're, you know, and against each other, they've got their odds. And then imagine you just put that money in the pot, and whoever lasts longer collects. So it's kind of like a wins pool, right? You've got to
right. You're
kind of paying for a team. Who would you guys take first?
I think I would take the Bucks, but I would want to be the third person to pick because I think those teams are all so even that.
Oh, sorry.
I think I would take the Bucks if I had the first pick, but I think I would be the last person to pick because I'd rather have the third pick at the best price.
You wouldn't want to lay the vig to get an earlier pick.
No.
What about you, Fred?
I think I'd take the Raptors, but I'm same thing. I don't want to be first.
All right. Well, Fez went first, laid the 115, took Milwaukee. Brad laid all the way up to, like we said, 125, took Boston. I'm plus money against both, and I got Toronto.
And no one's got Philly?
Well, there's only three of us.
Yeah. I mean, God, I might take Philly with my second choice. That goes to tell you how close it is. And I think the craziest thing, and the reason why I said Indiana, I'm pulling it up now. Indiana, who's, by the way, currently third in the Eastern Conference, ahead of the Celtics, ahead of the Sixers. And so all those other teams that you can get 3-1 or less, you can get the Pacers at 100-1 to win the East. So
yeah, but I mean, wouldn't you say that their record isn't representative of their current strength?
I mean, I would say I'd agree with that. But do you think that those other four teams should be 3-1 and the Pacers should be 100-1? Given the fact that the Pacers so far this season have a better record than the Celtics and the Sixers?
Remember, there's no league in which the better team wins and advances more often than the NBA. Why? Because it's seven games versus one and done. And what is the amount of luck, right? So imagine you shoot a three, the ref calls a foul, but he shouldn't. So now you get, you know, that's the luck, and you get three free throws. In football, one pick six, one lucky bounce can be 7 out of 40 points or 50 points, 3 out of 200 or 220. So really, think about how often are there genuine upsets in the NBA. So to me, it's find the best team and either bet it or you don't. If you don't, if you don't think they're priced right, but it's kind of hard to root for upsets. And Indiana would be a clear dog in what? At least three rounds. I mean, I guess if we're talking getting out of the East, I mean, they might be a clear dog every round.
Well,
I don't know.
No, but, well, here's the deal with the, and this is why I say this, because one of those teams, if Indiana does finish in the top three, that means that two of those top four play each other in the first round while the Pacers play the Nets or the Hornets. So, I mean, the Pacers, I don't think the Pacers could lose to one of those two teams, the Nets or the Hornets or the Pistons, somebody like that. Whereas if the playoffs started today with Boston and Philly 4-5, I don't know who wins that. And I've got to pay 3-1 and those two teams play each other in the first round. I think being ahead of that 4 or 5 seed is a massive advantage, because whoever the 4 or 5 seed is not only has to play one of the other three teams that are considered elite in the Eastern Conference, then they have to play the 1 seed next. Whereas the 3 seed, I mean, you're talking about playing one difficult series versus two.
No, I hear you. And 100-1 is for the East?
For the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, so the theory is you can start hedging out. So that's interesting. And again, that's a key concept. Oftentimes when you're looking at a jumbo underdog, it's not so much they're going to finish the job. Let's use the NCAA tournament as an example. Brad likes Kansas State. He gave them out on our Straight Out of Vegas show today, 60-1. And the theory being, hey, they could be favored the first three rounds, and you can guarantee yourself a profit if they win those first three, whereas you start hedging back. So there's certainly, with those jumbo long shots, a chance to earn even if you don't win, if you don't finish the deal. And also, I would make the case that this is where you can really shop. There's a famous story where everyone else had the Cardinals in baseball. I mean, this has probably been 6 years now. Maybe 7, the Cardinals were maybe 200-1, 300-1. But the way it was they actually had a better chance to win the division than you'd think because of who they were playing, because it's like we were talking about in the Super Contest, since they were playing the teams ahead of them, if they won, they were always going to be picking up a game. They ended up winning, and literally the MGM, I think it was, had them at 999-1. It was just a default, hey, they can't win 999-1. Right. So if you shop around and you're looking for future odds in general or bad bets, but if you find someplace that's 80-1 and the rest of the world's 30-1, you will see that sometimes, and there can be value.
RJ, is that AAF taking any action last week? I know the TV ratings were good, but I was just curious if the books did much on them the first week.
Did you guys hear that the Duke-Virginia game had less viewers than that AAF game?
That's crazy to me.
Yeah,
we've been hearing here the Rockets game. Who were the Rockets playing that day?
Thunder.
The Rockets Thunder game. Yeah, had a lower rating than the AAF games.
I tell you this, I didn't want to talk about it, but we talked about it this week, and Fezzik has some strong feelings. He thinks the home teams just have a big advantage. Why? Because here'd be a good example. I'm not a great golfer, right? I'm not even an okay, but let's say I'm an okay golfer. If I'm on my home course, all right, versus if I'm on some strange course, the difference for me is going to be drastic. But if you're Tiger Woods in his prime, yeah, he'd rather be on his home course. It's going to be a small difference, all right? Tom Brady on the road. These are quarterbacks. These are offenses. These are offensive coordinators. They need everything to be exactly right to max their chance to perform. I think the cheaper travel, where it's not going to be first class, it's not going to be the best hotel rooms. I'm guessing they might even be bunking up together. Remember back in the day, like if you read Ball 4, which is a famous diary of Jim Boughton, I think it was during the 68 season, he played for Seattle's baseball team. And he was just this irreverent guy, and he used to be on the Yankees, and he tells all these stories. Fascinating book. I read it like 4 times when I was a kid. It was called Ball 4 again. I mean, they were bunking together. They were on, long car rides. It feels like the combination of not being familiar with the venue in the AAF and these being amateurs in a way, borderline amateurs, combined with travel being harder than you might think, because we're so used to it not being a big deal in the modern era. I think if all you did was bet all home teams the next couple weeks, I wouldn't do it blind. But boy, I would have to really have a reason to bet a road team, I think it's home or pass for me.
See, that's why you're a genius. You've actually got a strategy for a league that just started.
Does it make sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. Yeah. I'm not sure I can bring myself to bet on it.
Yeah, but I'm not betting on it because I don't want to watch it. And I mean, there's a whole thing to that. But yeah, it does make sense.
Thanks for
enlightening
me on this particular subject, RJ.
Thank you, RJ. Thank you.
We were doing
so
well.
I mean, that's why I'm here, guys. That's why I'm here.
All right.
Hey, last thing.
Sure.
You got a sec? You got 3 minutes? 4 minutes?
Yeah.
I really think it's fascinating, this idea of, you know, like I'm a big Colin Cowherd fan. He's been a personal friend, so I appreciate that too, and I'm a fan of him on air. But he's preaching this player empowerment, like no matter what. Yeah, give LeBron credit. Give Anthony Davis credit. You know, those big, bad billionaire owners. And it's like, I'm confused. It's like, you know, as a Steelers fan, I look at Brown and I'm thinking, you're very good at what you do. You're world class. But you know something? You watch the Olympics. Everyone in the Olympics is world class. And like what, 95% of them don't make a living at it. Right? So like someone that's the best weight, you know, the even chess, which is obviously like a hyper intellectual game. I'm a big fan of chess. Like literally, if you're the 20th best chess player in the world, you have to work a straight job. Go ahead.
Oh, that makes sense because the interest level is not it's not something people are going to pay for.
So it's not about how great you are. It's about how much interest there is, how much revenue can be generated from watching you do something. And it strikes me that, you know, Antonio Brown, you could say, hey, you're one of the best in the world. So congratulations, like a bobsledder, like an archery guy or gal, whatever. Okay. But now the world wants to watch you, so you now have generational wealth. It's not about you having money or your kids. It's about 4, 5, 6 generations can be fine if they play their cards right with this money. And the idea that that's the underdog, that that's the person that's being somehow oppressed. And I'm not saying that the billionaire owners don't have it better. And I'm not, but I just think this whole idea that, the proletariat and the real fans should be on the player's side. Like, eventually, who do you root? Are we rooting for laundry or are we rooting for players?
I say that all the time. Right?
What's the answer?
I root for players. It's weird to root for laundry.
So what players do you look at and think, that's who I want my kids to be like?
I mean, yeah, that's a pretty deep question. I don't know.
Because if you're not saying that, why root for them?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
I was lucky enough, name drop, to interview Hines Ward and down at the Super Bowl for our show. And I asked him, I said, the rumor is that when the Steelers said they were done, that there were multiple teams that wanted to sign you. And you said no, you didn't want to put another jersey on. And he said, that's absolutely true. And what he said was, he goes, I didn't feel like I could give them what I gave Pittsburgh, so it wouldn't have been fair to them. To me, not to sound unmacho, but my heart did a little flutter. It's like, man, that's something to root for. I don't care if you're 45, 15, or 85. Like the idea, you love the fans, you love a team enough that you've – now listen, if he didn't have enough to feed his family, he's going to go do what he needs to do. But for that last $6 million or whatever, he said, no, thank you. Today, it's just – I'm not saying there's no one, but the percentage of players that you would say, that's someone I want to root for. That's someone I'd like to hang with. Not hang with because it's so cool on Instagram and there's all these models around or they're drinking or they're whatever.
But like someone you actually respect. Hang with,
someone I respect. And it just strikes me that the less we ask of these players when it comes to like what's the standard, the fewer of these players that any thinking person. Now, when you're a kid, you're a kid, right? But if only kids cared about sports, then these players wouldn't make near the money. And here's my final point. Larry Bird and Magic Johnson in 1985, if you converted their salary to today's dollars, it'd be $5 million and $4.2 million, Magic getting paid more. Steph Curry and Westbrook, number one and two now, are both over $35 million. So to me, it's not about all the best is getting paid the same. They're getting paid so much more, and it seems like the genuine engagement from fans is so much less. And really the question is, what drives the engagement other than valuing what these players are about? And boy, it just seems like to me there's less and less players to value what they're about.
All right. Fascinating stuff, RJ. Seriously.
Do you guys agree?
I do agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I also I think you and I are from different ilks, though. You cheer for a jersey, right? Typically.
Steelers, yeah. But
if every player on the Steelers got traded to the Ravens tomorrow, which team would you cheer for?
I would hate that, because when James Harrison played for Cincinnati, I hated it. But there's only a handful of players.
You would cheer for the Lamar Jackson-led Steelers, though, right?
I would, but I'll be honest with you. I'm getting sour on the Steelers at this point. So now nothing's left. Nothing's left. They're taking the last boyhood dream from me.
You've always got Ohio State hoops.
Well, lucky I got a lot of money.
There you go. All right, that's RJ Bell. We'll talk to you next week, RJ.
Thanks, guys.
RJBellPregame.com. Check him out there. And RJ at RJ in Vegas on Twitter.
I wanted to get his opinion on what the odds would be for my gambling triple crown to cash.
We'll have to do that next week. Remind me.
Well, we got plenty of time because it's a year away.
All right, we got to hit a break.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hey, guys, if you haven't bought Jesus Just Left Chicago yet, go to JesusTheNovel.com. You can get the audiobook, you can get the print version, you can get the Kindle, the Nook, the Apple books, all those things.
It's excellent.
I don't even know what a Nook is, but
it's a book you can read on like a tablet.
Ah, well, there you go. It's all
my
right.
My wife
there.
Has a Nook.
I see. All right. Well, this show's kind of gone by awful fast.
Yeah, it has.
I just realized, holy bleep, we only have a segment left after this, and this is going to be a short one.
Yeah.
So, how's your basketball game going over there?
It's going really poorly, I'll be honest.
Are you the team that's down five?
I'm the team that's down five, and I'm giving 10.
Ah.
St. Joe's has already made 8 three-pointers, which is about what they average per game. There's still 2 minutes in the first half. They're just chucking it up, and it's all going in.
Yeah, that's got to stop, right?
You assume, and I mean, I don't know. I like that Steph Curry's in the house. He's watching the game. I think Davidson's going to end up giving a better effort in the second half.
Yeah, they don't want to embarrass himself.
No. No, they're shooting 27% from three tonight. Come on.
That's a little below average.
With Steph in the house, you better step it up, bro.
Maybe you could sneak him into another uniform.
That's actually a good move.
And then just get it to 11 points, and then he can go back and watch the game.
That's it.
Yeah, that's all you need.
Go back to your seat, sir. You're not allowed to be on the court.
Oh, man. Did you see there's odds on the Breaking Bad movie? There's actually movie props?
No.
Released by December 31st, 2019. Yes, minus 120. No, minus 120.
Well, I'll take no.
I think I'll take no. Will Jesse Pinkman die? God, I hope so.
Nope, it's a prequel.
No, it's like what happens after, right?
I thought they said Walt is going to be in it.
No, but I think it's going to be like a flashback.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and because yes, he will die, plus 150. No, minus 200. I'll be rooting for death.
Walt, they just hit another three.
Are they in the white jerseys?
Yes. There? This is absurd. Come on, guys. Luckily, Harvard's got a 7-point lead.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Come on, though.
Will Walter White appear? Yes, minus 500. No, plus 300. Will Saul Goodman appear? Yes, minus 600. No, plus 350. Will Los Pollos Hermanos be shown?
Yeah, these are all part of the...
Yes, minus 120.
Yeah.
No, minus 120. Will the phrase gray matter be said? Yes, plus 300. No, minus 500.
I'll go no.
Yeah, I'm not giving up minus 500, though. excuse me.
The plague is upon you, sir.
Yeah, I just...
Did your mother vaccinate you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just making sure you don't have the measles or something.
No, I don't have the measles. I've been a little under the weather the last couple days, but...
So it's a good time for the weekend?
It is a good time for the weekend for me to rest, recover, and come back Monday.
Does that mean you're not going to be running in the Rodeo Clown Roundup?
Yeah, I'm going to say 30% chance I'll be in the Rodeo Clown Roundup.
You wear a Rodeo Clown outfit?
No, I will not.
Okay.
But so I will wear clothes.
Will you wear your best Western gear?
I don't really have any Western gear except boots, and I can't really run a 5K in those.
You're so lame. Well, there's going to be people
thunk,
doing that.
Thunk, thunk, thunk.
The Rodeo Clown Roundup 5K, 10K, it's going to be a great time. Participants, you got to be 21 or older. You'll receive a participation bandana, commemorative koozie with two tokens for beer at the finish. And joining the fun later in the day with the Rodeo Clown Roundup Music Fest featuring some great country music. And if you race, you get a $10 discount on the concert ticket. So that's a good deal. That's Sunday, February 17th out at the brewery. The lineup, Casey Donahue, Nikki Lane, Bruce Robinson, Jonathan Tyler and the Northern Lights, the Old 97s, Flatland Cavalry, and Texas Flood. Gates open at 1:30. Get out there for a hell of a good time and some great beer, some great Texas country music. Grab your tickets today at carbachbrewing.com/RCRU. Aaron, you said today they're running out of VIP tickets. Is that what I heard?
8 left.
Well, you better get them while you can, guys. And while you're out there, make sure you stop by that restaurant. Get some of that great food, the crab cakes, the Hatch chili mac and cheese, the smoked tuna tacos. Come on. Come on. Everything they've got on the menu pairs perfectly with the beer they've got on the wall. They're open 11 to 9 for lunch and dinner daily. And then on Saturday and Sunday, they do brunch from 11 to 2. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Pick up your favorite Carbach beer today, or just ask your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz.
We're back on The Blitz.
And we're about to run out of time, so let's do stupid stuff.
Yeah. Stupid stuff we've said
this week. Do you not like sports?
I'm okay with sports. Me and sports are cool. We're not like going SETI, but we're cool.
It's like occasional hookup sort of thing. Okay. Yeah. That seems fair. Kyler Murray has decided he's going to focus on football.
Is he now? You know where I didn't see that? Twitter.
I'm still not used to these glasses, by the way.
What, you don't like my glasses?
No, I don't hate them. It's just you look respectable. Kind of ruins the show. It's real easy to point out what the concerns are with Kyler Murray and hype being the main thing.
Somebody will take a chance on him early, and they'll probably throw him out there too soon. And
that's inevitably what happens with almost all these guys, right?
They'll stunt his growth.
Oh.
Sorry, I couldn't help
it. Yeah.
I couldn't help it.
There are those who think little of him.
Kevo!
Country music was failing, and Garth Brooks is the one that changed the thing and turned it into a show because he listened to Gene Simmons make it a show.
Well, thank you for your input.
Okay, is it just me, or did Kevin sound a lot like
the Milo Hamilton
fake
guy?
Milo, yes.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did. I was drunk the day my mom got out of prison.
You should be putting in the hours. You should be working your butt off. And so, yeah, it's good.
Okay.
It's good
if you
for
say
you.
So, then.
Just don't let it turn you into an a-hole, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, of course. It's not just... me.
More of an a-hole.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go.
I'm
the amount he's been has been just right.
Yeah. a poster on TexAgs who showed that, hey, they had some guys go down in ranking, too.
Is this someone trying to... Did they ban him?
I don't know.
What, are you trying to be reasonable?
This is...
Get out of here, loser!
This has turned into a legitimate controversy.
You must be a sip. What's different about him and Justin Timberlake?
Here's what it is. Videos. Michael Jackson's videos were iconic. That took
him
to the next
level. What about the video of NSYNC where they're puppets? Everyone knows that one.
No, not so much. No, but...
Climbing a river.
Theodore Bridgewater.
He's still untapped potential, but is it going to get tapped at this point?
Well, boy, there's a bunch of jokes I can tell her.
I speak French. I don't know if you know this.
I see.
Oui.
Si vous plaît.
Let's not get too advanced here. Let's slow it down.
And happy Valentine's Day for those of you who celebrate that sort of thing.
Oh, happy Valentine's Day to you, Fred.
Why me?
You're my Valentine. You're my secret Valentine.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Oh,
yeah?
Stupid stuff. We've said
this week.
Oh, fun week, guys. Fun week.
We'll,
thanks for not being my Valentine.
Yeah. Important not to take that personally. Yeah. I rejected Aaron, too, so.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. That will wrap it up. Aaron started slowly, rallied, fumbled a little bit again, and then finished strong. Solid B. That's the best I can do today.
Okay.
Which is kind of the lowest I ever give a producer. Eh. Not, don't tell him I said that, but yeah.
You're great on the producer curve.
Yeah.
You know, they're not that smart to begin with.
He's not a dumb.
No.
But I'll give Hoffman an A+. I gave myself a really solid C today. It was very average, which for me is good. And we will be back on Monday. I hope everybody has an awesome, awesome weekend.
You too, friend.
Till then, stay sports, you bitches.